Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today on the show, I'm joined by longtime 9/11 truth activist Barbara Honegger to talk about her run for Congress on a 9/11 truth platform in the 20th District in California. Barbara Honegger, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you're considered one of the leaders of the 9/11 truth movement, particularly with your work on the Pentagon. You created the film Behind the Smoke Curtain, which is a really excellent film on the Pentagon. You did the virtual walking tour of the 9/11 Museum in New York City, and you've spoken around the country at conferences and probably around the world on conferences dedicated to 9/11. And then, I think it was in the 1980s, you wrote the book October Surprise. And we'll hopefully touch on that later in the show. But first, tell us why you decided to run for Congress and why you think you're qualified and why you're running with the 9/11 truth as part of your central platform for your campaign.
Yes. Well, first off, thanks so much for the opportunity to be on the show again. I really appreciate it, an opportunity to get out important information.
Absolutely.
Well, the gist about my background that makes me qualified to run for Congress, and that I'm running, by the way, in California's Congressional District 20, which is essentially the Central Coast area of California centered around the Monterey Peninsula. So that's where I'm running. And there are five candidates running for the office. One of them, interestingly, my main rival here, is Leon Panetta's son, James Panetta. And many of your listeners will recognize Leon Panetta as having been CIA Director and Secretary of Defense. And the CIA Director and Secretary of Defense calls the shots on every Hellfire missile from every Predator drone and other drones over Afghanistan and Pakistan. And so his son is running for Congress on his father's bloodstained coattails.
Mm.
So I'm not only running for Congress on a 9/11 truth platform, but also against the unconscionable and clearly illegal under international law and U.S. law, by the way, and presidential executive orders, as far as I know, is still in existence, banning assassinations, and this is clearly an assassination program against, as we know, even U.S. citizens in Yemen. So I'm running for Congress, of course, not only on 9/11 truth and anti-drones, but also on a whole spectrum of positions on issues here that are relevant to the Central Coast. And why am I qualified? Well, if you look at the qualifications of the five of us running, there's absolutely no objective question that I'm by far the most qualified candidate. I'm the only candidate with any experience at the national level, period, let alone all of the high-level experience that I've had in the federal government, which included being a policy analyst in the Domestic Policy Council and the West Wing of the White House, in the Office of the President. I was the director of a task force for the Attorney General of the United States of the Department of Justice. And for 15 years, I was the senior military affairs journalist for the U.S. Navy at the Naval Postgraduate School here in Monterey, California, up until my retirement in June of 2011. And Department of Defense itself builds the Naval Postgraduate School, which is also known as NPS, as the abbreviation. The DOD builds NPS itself as the Department of Defense Premier Science, Technology, and National Security Affairs Graduate University of the Department of Defense. So I was a senior journalist there for a decade and a half, including before, during, and after 9/11. And finally, although there are many other qualifications besides my BS and Master's in Experimental Psychology, which is not directly, well, maybe it is directly relevant to the
political
campaign.
Yeah.
But the other qualification that I would think of besides being our family home 50 years, 5 decades on the Monterey Peninsula here in California, so I'm a local girl. The other qualification that comes to mind is that I have master's level certification in national security decision making from the Naval War College. So I guess that's about it in a nutshell.
Yeah, you sound very qualified. And why making 9/11 part of your campaign and part of why you want to run?
Well, that's very, very, very fundamental. And I have made 9/11 all of my 9/11 platform extremely strong in radio interviews and interviews with our local newspapers that have been published in a very positive light, by the way. No heckling, no censorship, nothing.
That's fabulous.
Because these are effectively official statements, because you can get 9/11 truth out as a quasi-official statement when you are an official Secretary of State candidate for Congress. So the answer to your question, why is the truth about 9/11, that the official story is an incredible, huge, big lie, why is that relevant to my run or anyone's run for Congress and what's happening in Washington and the world since 9/11? Well, the obvious answer for those of us who know the forensic facts about 9/11 is that 9/11 was used, it was an inside job, and it was used as the pretext for rolling out the entire militaristic global domination agenda. The list of a minimum, and there were actually more, but a minimum of known 7 nations per regime change in the Middle East, and the Bush, Cheney, and Obama administrations have now rolled down almost all of those 7 nations regimes, according to the plan that was published a whole year before 9/11 by the Project for New American Century Zionist Neocons. So the bottom line is that 9/11 was used as the pretext, the official lie of 9/11 was used as the pretext for this massive rollout of the global domination agenda and the police and surveillance state, Patriot Act, Homeland Security, etc. in this country, which has resulted in, even on the known non-black budget, a minimum tripling of the so-called defense budget. Of course, it's now actually the offense department and not the defense department. So our country is hurting. It's hurting financially in every single way. Infrastructure is crumbling. People need health care. People need subsidies for higher education. And all of this money is being siphoned into 2 things in the federal budget. This balloons offense department budget based upon the pretext of the lie of 9/11, of the official story of 9/11, number one. And 2, the massively expanding and increasingly expanding section of the federal budget pie, this 100% pie, the section of that pie that goes to pay the federal debt on this massively expanding federal deficit, which in turn is based upon this massively ballooning offense department budget, Homeland Security the budget, so-called intelligence budget, justified on the official lie of 9/11. So I make that link explicit in everything that I do here in this campaign so that people understand the reason they don't have money for the domestic side of the federal budget and everything that the American people need to nation build in our own country, which we desperately need, is because of the official lie of 9/11. So that's that in a nutshell.
Yeah, really well said. And it is all connected, and I hope that people see that. Now, what will you do when you get elected to promote 9/11 truth?
Right. Well, I have a long list, but I'll tell you the very, very first thing that I will do if I'm elected, and I intend to be. I'm fighting really hard, and I'm going to tell you why there's a real chance here in a few minutes. When I am elected, the very first thing that I will do, besides joining the Progressive Caucus Congress, so that I would vote on most of the domestic side issues with the Progressive Caucus. So I'm running, I should make clear, as a Bernie Sanders independent. I'm 1,000% for Bernie Sanders for almost every policy that he puts forward. Some questions with some of his foreign policy and his deference to Israel, to the right-wing Likudists in Israel, but we'll put that aside. I'm talking about domestic policy. So anyway, I would join the Progressive Caucus immediately, and I would fight for major committee assignments, number 2. I would be an independent. Now, as far as I know, Bernie Sanders was the only independent, that is a registered, no party affiliation, independent, for years as the senator from Vermont. And it was only relatively recently that he changed his party affiliation to Democrat, and he's technically running as a Democrat, as you know, against Hillary Clinton. So I believe I would be the only independent in Congress, and that I would stand out. Anything that I did or said would probably far more easily get national media attention. All right, that's number 2. So number 3, the very first thing I would do for 9/11 would be to put into the congressional record, with speech after speech after speech, ideally a filibuster, on the floor of the House of Representatives, recording the forensic facts that we know about 9/11 and the proof thereof in terms of citations, references, etc., into the congressional record. I would make 9/11 Truth official. To my knowledge, I don't believe Cynthia McKinney did this. She held this magnificent congressional hearing on her own, which any member of Congress can do. And that's the fourth thing I would do. I would hold very hard-hitting, repeated series of congressional hearings in official congressional hearing rooms like Cynthia McKinney did when she was in Congress on 9/11 Truth, on the forensic facts of 9/11 Truth on all aspects of 9/11, leading up to, during, and after 9/11. I would do that, but I would also make sure that it was in the congressional record so that the information was officialized. And why is that important? It's important for the same reason that because I'm an official candidate for Congress here in California, the mainstream media here is quoting everything I say. During interviews, they're not censoring the interviews because it's official news and it covers them legally. So when you get it in the official congressional record, it makes it safe for these legally risk-shy mainstream news outlets, newspapers, even television, to go ahead and quote it and talk about it. We have to learn how to officialize 9/11 Truth. That's just the beginning of what I would do.
And even if you don't get elected, and I certainly hope you will, but even if you don't, as you said, you've been getting all of this out into the mainstream just through your campaign, so it's well worth it even if you don't get elected.
Absolutely. And I'd just like to let people know why I have a real chance of winning. This is not just a Don Quixote tilting at windmills here. Believe it or not, even though California's Congressional District 20, the Central Coast area around Monterey, California, goes up to Santa Cruz, California, which is highly progressive and independent. University of California, Santa Cruz campus is there. All those young students are of voting age and they vote. Believe it or not, when I was just at KSCO Radio, which is the main Santa Cruz station, it's got the strongest signal south of San Francisco before you get down to Los Angeles. It's a very powerful radio station. That's where I'm going to be blanketing the airwaves with ads coming up in the near future. I've already done a 10-spot ad just the other day on KSCO. KSCO did a Arbitron-type poll. They do this repeatedly so that their advertisers can know what their audience makeup is. And believe it or not, 56% of their listeners, it's a large listenership, are self-proclaimed political independents. 56%.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, 10% are other independent categories. In other words, not what they might call an official independent. And that would include Peace and Freedom Party, Constitution Party, maybe Greens Party, that kind of thing. So you've got almost three-quarters. Three-quarters independent. Now, there's rarely been an actual self-proclaimed independent candidate with real qualifications they could vote for. So they usually vote Democratic. And as a result of that, our representatives since 1993, when I ran against him back then, Sam Farr is his name, he's now retiring. Therefore, the seat is open for the first time since 1993 when I ran last time. Now, Sam Farr won because the congressional district is heavily Democratic and he was the Democratic candidate. This time, Leon Panetta, former CIA director and Secretary of Defense, the drone warfare assassination program head himself, his son, Jimmy Panetta, is running as the Democrat on the ticket. Now, in the June 7th primary, Panetta Jr. will probably get the majority of the votes simply because people vote party. However, all I need to do on June 7th in the primary is be in the top two. And that's imminently doable because once I get in the top two, believe me, if I can knock out the only Republican running, who is a woman whose claim to fame is that she's on the city council in this little tiny town called Pacific Grove, if I can beat the Republican and get on the November ballot, I will give James Panetta and the entire mentality of the Offense Department and the official eye of 9/11 a run for their money like you wouldn't believe. And because of the independent makeup of the KSO listenership, I think I have a very good chance.
Yeah, that sounds really great. And you mentioned the three candidates, Jimmy Panetta and then the Republican. Who are the other two?
There's a Republican and Democrat and myself, an independent. There is one other self-proclaimed independent. In other words, no party affiliation given.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Jack Digby. He is a steel worker and he has no political experience at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's in union. he's a really good guy. I'm impressed with him. Very young, got a lot of maturing to do. And the fifth candidate is a really great guy. His name is Joe Williams. He's running on the Peace and Freedom Party ticket. So he's not technically an independent, although really he is. We agree on most issues, but again, he has absolutely no high-level political experience at the national level or even the state level, anything like that.
Do any of those candidates agree with you on 9/11?
Well, that's interesting. I have to tell you their response, because no one has actually come up to me and said, I agree with you. However, they're probably too hesitant to do that publicly, because I'm always with them in these candidate debate forums. Okay. And I've been in six or so candidate debate forums and have another half dozen of them coming up this month. The others were in March and April. But I have to tell you what happens in these debate forums, because you'll love this. I mean, I get a kick out of it. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
The 9/11 Truth Movement has obviously been so successful that almost everyone already knows about a lot of the main points of our evidence. They must know it, because I'm going to give you the example of a marina. Marina is a town on the coast here. It's part of the California Congressional District 20. And a few weeks ago, I was in a candidate forum that was televised live on our local public access TV station. And we were sitting at this very official dais of the Marina City Council, and, you know, the high leather chairs behind the wooden dais and all of this, all of us, plus the moderator. And the moderator, in all of these candidate forums, gives the same question to all candidates. We each have between a minute and 2 minutes to answer the same question. And then they rotate the order in which you answer. Okay. So, for example, one question was, what are you going to do about terrorism?
Oh.
Or what are you going to do about ISIS? How mm-hmm. are you going to protect us from ISIS? Or how are you going to protect us from radical Islamic terrorism? Well, that just plays into my hands. And I said, well, first off, that answer presumes that the official story of who attacked our country on 9/11 is true, which it is a blood libel, big lie. It is completely false.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And then I go into how we know. And I give one burning data point, I call it, flaming data point from World Trade Center and one flaming data point from the Pentagon. The World Trade Center data point I give, which I still to this day think outranks nanothermite by far, and that is, did you know that three independent official seismic records prove, these are official records, prove that there were massive deep basement explosions in both World Trade Centers 1 and 2, in both towers, in one case 14 seconds before, and in the other 17 seconds before either plane hit at all. Dozens and dozens of stories into the sky above. Number one. Number two, do you know that what really happened at the Pentagon is the same as at the World Trade Center? Three placed inside the building explosives where no outside terrorist could ever have the opportunity to have the access to get inside the most highly secure access control building on the planet. So I go into all of this, and I do it for a minute or two, hard-hitting like that. Bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. And then I stop.
And
there isn't a single guffaw from the audience. None of the other candidates or the moderators raise their eyebrows. I've got this on video. What they do, the other candidates who then answer after me the same question, what are you going to do about terrorism, they act as if not a single word I said had been spoken.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that really amazing?
It is amazing.
Wow.
And Jimmy Panetta especially, of course, pushes the official line of 9/11, and he was a Navy intelligence reservist who went to Afghanistan, and his job was to identify so-called high-value targets, which were then given to his father when his father was CIA director, who then rained down Hellfire missiles on them and took out 90 to 95% innocent civilians around them.
And when they don't respond to you and they just ignore that and they go on, it makes them look like just total idiots, I think. I mean, it really shows.
Yes, it does.
The cover-up.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. And, oh, by the way, I mentioned Behind the Smoke Curtain. I mentioned the walking tour. I let people know where they can go find it. So I let people know. And, oh, you'll love this one. You'll love this one, Cheryl. One of the questions I was asked was, what are you going to do about ISIS? All the candidates were asked this. And I said, well, first off, that question presumes that ISIS is an outside terrorist organization. And number one, did you know that a man by the name of Gregory Ford, look him up on YouTube for yourself, Greg Ford was the only medic at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, and he personally recruited the self-proclaimed head of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, for U.S. intelligence. This is the man who, to this day, our U.S. Offense Department claims is the head of ISIS. Wow. He's ours. And did you know that al-Baghdadi, when he was injured in Syria, was raced by the Israelis to an Israeli hospital in the Golan Heights, where he was patched back to health and sent back into the battle in Syria? He's ours.
And you say this, and what kind of response do you get to that?
It's amazing, because I'm an official candidate. I'm on a level playing field with Panetta's son. I'm on this dais. Everybody knows I'm the one telling the truth. They can tell it from my tone of voice. They can tell it from the certainty in my voice. And they can see that all the other candidates are basically, they're assuming, put it this way, the official story about everything, about ISIS, about 9/11. And they listen with respect.
And the reporters, too, the journalists have to go along with that, too, right?
Well, the reporters have to quote you. That's their job.
Oh, I love this, Barbara. This is really great. I'm so thankful that you're doing this. Are you getting any feedback from the constituents about this?
Oh, yes. You know what's fascinating? Now, obviously, I hate the word politics, really. I am not a politician. I refuse to be one. I won't. By the way, everything is coming out of my own pocket, out of my own savings. And I'm just myself running to try to fix the country and the world. Okay, that's the bottom line. And you do that, you can't have justice without truth. And you can't fix things. You can't have democracy without the voting public knowing the facts. So that's why I'm doing it. I have a great faith in the truth working its magic once it's known by a critical mass of Americans.
Yeah.
So that's, I have faith in the American voter when they're fully informed or reasonably informed. So anyway, what do these voters do? Well, in politics, and I hate the word, in politics, it's all about knowing individuals. So obviously, no individual candidate running can meet everybody who's going to be voting in the ballot booth. It's impossible. But for those who know me, for those who have met me, every single one has come up, and in many cases at these candidate forums after, when you kind of mill around and meet people, there was this woman who came up to me and she whispered, I'm going to vote for you. Like it was supposed to be a state secret.
Don't tell my neighbors.
But people who know me are actually excited. And one of the most exciting things to me is I just went to an event with Ray McGovern, who was out here in Santa Cruz. And I took out about $350 for 10 radio ads in KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz, plugging his event. And he spoke before and after a couple of nights ago. He spoke before and after a really great film called Drone, which everybody should see, and it's streamable from Netflix. You must see the documentary called just Drones, D-R-O-N-E-S. So Ray McGovern was out here, and Ray found out that I was running for Congress, and he got very excited about it, and I've asked him for his endorsement. We'll see what he does. He wanted me to send him all my materials, which I need to do. Michael Springman has endorsed me for office, and Michael Springman, of course, is the author of Visas for Al-Qaeda and was the consular State Department officer, the visa officer in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and has written this book, Visas for Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, I've interviewed him on the show, so some of the listeners will be aware of him.
Well, he's a very, very important person, and he's endorsed my candidacy. And as we get closer to the June 7th primary, I'm going to be holding 9/11 truth events under the umbrella of my candidacy. And I'm going to invite Michael out. I'm inviting Richard Gage. And I hope to have a major 9/11 campaign. Oh, also Mike Gravel is coming. So I'm going to have a major campaign event here under my campaign umbrella for 9/11 Truth with a lot of the experts and activists on the Monterey Peninsula before the campaign, before the primary on June 7th.
Excellent. That sounds really wonderful. Wow. Now,
and you know, Cheryl, it's actually fun.
It
I ran for this office back in 1993, the last time the seat was open when, coincidentally or not, Leon Panetta, who had been our representative for years in Congress, he, as you may recall, he stepped down in the middle of his term, the middle of his two-year term, in the House of Representatives to be Clinton's chief of staff in the White House. So it was a special election back in 1993, and I ran in that election. I was one of 26 candidates in that special election, and I actually got more votes per dollar spent by far than any other candidate in that election, including the winner, Sam Farr, who's now retiring at the end of this term. So I kind of got all the bugs out back then, but I'm actually enjoying the process this time.
That's great, and I really like the way you connect the dots between 9/11 and everything that's happening to our country, our budget, the wars. You connect it all, that we can't have health care for everybody because we're bombing seven countries in the Middle East, that kind of thing. So I really like the way you connect those dots.
We can't have health care, they claim. We can't have universal health care here because we're using the money to kill people overseas.
Exactly. And Americans should be outraged that, really, that we're killing all these, you know, aside from the money, that we're killing millions of innocent people in the Middle East and around the world. It's really a travesty.
Yes, yes. And what you learn from the movie Drones, and especially from my friend and colleague, I'm sure if you haven't interviewed her on the show, you should, Margie Cohn. She's written the book Drones. She is fantastic. And Margie Cohn's book and the new documentary film Drones, you can download and stream from Netflix. They prove that our military is intentionally targeting civilians. Intentionally targeting civilians.
Yeah.
And if you believe their lie, that we know that they intentionally targeted and took out with a drone attack in Yemen this former alleged motivator, this imam motivator of alleged terrorists, they took him out. He was an American citizen. But a little bit later, in a separate drone attack, they claim that it was just an accident that the Hellfire missile happened to take out his son, who's also an American citizen.
Right. Wasn't he sitting in a sidewalk cafe when they took him out?
Exactly. And these Hellfire missiles home in on the cell phone that the person is on, the cell phone number, the GPS locator.
Makes you want to get rid of your cell phone. Anyway, Barbara, one last question, because we mentioned this in the beginning. Can you talk a little bit about, just briefly, about the book October Surprise that you wrote back in, was it the 80s?
Sure. I'm glad you brought it up, because my book, October Surprise, the bottom line of that book, and it was the first by almost 3 years before the next published at all by anyone else, and that was by Gary Sick, who was the naval intelligence officer who was in the Carter White House National Security Council throughout the hostage crisis. He wrote a book by the same title, October Surprise, as mine 3 years later. Didn't mention my book, of course, just stole everything. But anyway, my book has been magnificently confirmed by now declassified documents that everyone can go read for themselves on Robert Perry's fantastic website called consortiumnews.com. Just click on the October Surprise X-Files for those documents, proving it that were formerly classified and have now been leaked. And what's so fantastic, Cheryl, is that just the other day, believe it or not, in Newsweek magazine, now I've just read it in the online Newsweek, but just, I think it was April 26th or something like that, could still be the current or just past issue of Newsweek, at least the online version, there is a big headline, "The October Surprise is Real, Claims Former Top CIA Spy on His Deathbed." That man was Duane Dewey Claridge, who is at the center of the Iran-Contra felonies and was one of the five Iran-Contra felons who was actually indicted and had to be pardoned by George Bush Sr. as one of his last acts as President of the United States. So my book, October Surprise, was proof and has now been validated by even the guy who was in charge of the operation on the Contra side of Iran-Contra, Duane Dewey Claridge, in Newsweek magazine the other day. My book, October Surprise, proves that the Reagan-Bush Sr. campaign in 1980 literally stole the election from President Carter. Can you imagine what the world would have been like if Carter had won a second
term? Yeah, it's really like
it's
like a coup, a secret coup there, you know.
It was a coup. It was a coup. It was a CIA coup led by George Bush Sr. and William Casey, who became Reagan's first head of the CIA, not coincidentally.
Yeah.
And it's now been totally confirmed. So I've been just recently validated in Newsweek magazine.
Well, it's a perfect time while you're running your campaign. It's good to have that validation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You could imagine I mention it on the campaign trail.
You've got it down, Barbara. It sounds really great. And I want to thank you for running and bringing all this to the surface. And thank you for all your work on 9/11 Truth and all the other issues we all care about. Great to have you on the show today.
Well, great to be on.
And again, you were just listening to longtime 9/11 Truth activist Barbara Honegger discuss her current run for Congress from the 20th Congressional District in California on a 9/11 Truth platform. She has worked inside the government for much of her adult life. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.
Power to